Hi, everybody. Steve Savitsky. Welcome back to Savitsky Talks. And today we have Dina Buchholz. Dina wrote a very interesting article for the Jewish Action all about self-esteem. Dina, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks. And yourself?
I am doing well. Now that I'm talking to you, I'm doing even better. So,
awesome.
Child self-esteem. Okay. So, I read the article. Very, very interesting. And I think you're making a very interesting point. You're saying, if you want to raise someone's self-esteem, don't tell them how good they are. Let them do something that they feel productive, right?
That's exactly right.
There you go. Got the whole article. Perfect. Okay, let's talk about that a little bit. So how did you come to this conclusion, first of all?
How did I come to this conclusion? I guess after years of trying to raise my children's self-esteem the conventional way, which is to praise them a lot, give them a lot of personal focused attention. This is according to the positive parent techniques that I learned through my reading and through taking parenting classes. I realized that my kids were really just becoming more narcissistic and less motivated to do what I wanted them to do, you know, to do their schoolwork, to do their chores, things like that. And what really got me started on a completely different path in parenting, because I had been following the typical standard methods that are basically the conventional wisdom, was a book that I had read that was much more old-fashioned. And this book, it's called The Well-Behaved Child by John Rosemond, who is a clinical psychologist. This book kind of opened my eyes to a completely different way of parenting. Again, it's more old-fashioned, and it's very, very commonsensical. So I started thinking a lot about self-esteem based on his work. I started realizing that I couldn't get my kids to think well of themselves just by telling them how great they are. And in fact, I was actually just hurting them, because I was giving them an inflated self-perception. I was teaching them to be arrogant. And the only way to really teach them self-respect, which is a better word than self-esteem, because self-esteem is kind of like high self-regard, you know, thinking well of yourself is not necessarily always a good thing. So really teaching them an accurate self-perception, which is what humility is all about, by letting them struggle on their own without using me as a crutch to get them through everything. So I had to step back. I had to let them do their own homework, and let them know that I was not even going to remind them to do their homework. Let them do chores and not accept sloppy jobs. If they didn't do it right, they had to redo it.
Well, isn't that a question really? You're talking about, you say self-respect. I mean, you're talking about really giving them tasks to do that are not beyond their ability to do that. I mean, there's kind of a fine line, isn't there? You could ask them to do something, and then they get frustrated, and then what happens then?
Yes. So there is a fine line, because you want to give them tasks that they are capable of doing, but you also don't want to underestimate them. So sometimes, you know, you can make a mistake and realize you've given your child a bit too much, you know, more than they can handle. But most of the time, really, when a child gets frustrated and they say, I can't, and I wrote this in the article, what they really mean is, it's hard and I'm frustrated and I want you to take over for me, because it's uncomfortable for me to be so frustrated. They need to sometimes be encouraged to step out of their comfort zone and do what they don't want to do.
Mm-hmm. And how do you determine, though, when, like, you know, it's not beyond their ability? Because like you said, you know, you could, so I guess you have to be very careful. You have to give them something that you know could be a little difficult, but if they really persevere, they'll be successful.
Yes, I think that the way you determine it is really based on your own experience and common sense. For example, I cast my mind back to what I did as a child, what was expected of me. I grew up as, you know, in a family of 13 kids, and everyone had to pitch in.
13 kids, really?
Yes, really.
Wow-wee. So and, what number were you?
I was number 5.
You were number 5, okay.
So, yes. So, from an early age, I was doing laundry. I was, you know, taking care of the younger siblings, cooking in the kitchen. I was doing a lot. And I realized that I was really not giving my kids stuff that my mother took for granted that I would do at a much younger age. So it was really based on my own experience. I realized that it's really kind of hard to it's hard to overdo it with the kids because young children are capable of so much more than we realize. A six-year-old can wash the floor even, certainly wash the dishes. I discovered that when I, and I wrote this in the article too, I discovered that when I left my kids in charge and the child whose job was to clean up from dinner bribed the younger sister, who was 6 years old at the time, to wash the dishes. I had never given her that chore before, and she did a fabulous job.
That's good.
They can polish silver. They can peel vegetables that may need supervision because they could nick their fingers. A parent would use their discretion to decide if they want a child as young as six using something that's sharp like that. There's just so much. There's so much that kids can really, really do. I find that it's the very rare parent who overdoes it.
Uh-huh. So now you have this thing about, well, your kids grumble. Sure they will. So how much grumbling is okay?
How much grumbling is okay? I guess as long as it's not defiant. When it reaches a level of defiance and the child says, I'm not your slave, you do it, that would be not acceptable.
Mm-hmm. So you know? You mentioned also something about not paying your kids to do the chores because it's really part of their responsibility being part of the household, right?
Right. We're teaching them to be good citizens, you know, productive members of the family and productive members of society. It's right and it's proper for them to do, to pull their weight without getting paid for it. And it's part of real life they're going to have to do when they run their own homes. No one's going to pay them to do their chores when they get married and have their own families. And they should contribute to the community. They should do chesed in the community without pay as well.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. That there's no,
right.
You have to have a certain self-worth, and you have that by actually doing things, not just by someone telling you that you're great, because that's just the worst thing in the world that's going to happen. and so you say preparing them for the real world. At what age do you start?
At what age? You can start as young as three. Some people find that they can start as young as two, you know, getting a two-year-old to pick up just their blocks, let's say. But definitely as young as three and a half. A 3.5-year-old can pick up their toys. And actually, this is a great age to start because 3.5-year-olds are very, very eager. Three-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds are very eager to do chores. They're excited about it. So it's a good time to capitalize on this particular aspect of child rearing. They'll be very excited to, if you give them a spray bottle and a rag, they'll be very excited to polish the windows.
Mm-hmm.
If you give them a little pail and, you know, with a little pail of water and a rag, they'll be very excited to wash a floor. So that's a great time to start, actually.
So if you could kind of look at the different ages, I mean, like, just a kind of a general idea, what kind of task would you say you'd give somebody, you know, 3 years old to six, and then six to nine, and nine to 12, and 12 to 15, and, you know, looking at the different age categories, what would you suggest to people who read the article and say, okay, that sounds good, but let me try to make it a little bit more practical?
Okay, that's a great question. I would give 3 to 6 year olds tidying up to do. I'd give them tasks that they would be excited about, like I mentioned before, like washing windows, floors, things like that. Making beds might be hard for small children. They can certainly start, but they might need help. I would put that more in the 6 to 9 category. Setting the table is something that all ages can do. 3 to 6 year olds, again, will need more help. A lot of these chores can be shared among all ages of the family. You can have, like, a rotation chart. Cleaning up from dinner, I would put in the 6 to 9 and 9 to 12 category and older. You know, clearing the table, wiping it down, washing the dishes, or loading the dishwasher would be, you know, older than six.
Mm-hmm.
Starting at age 8, they can start helping in the kitchen with food, with meal preparation. Actually, I have a funny story about one of my kids. She would wake up Sunday morning at the crack of dawn when she was about 6 years old and ask me to make her eggs every Sunday morning. So when she turned 7, I didn't want to wake up at the crack of dawn anymore, and I said, okay, I'm teaching you how to make eggs. And she started making eggs for herself at age 7. I taught her stove safety, and there was one particular pan she was to use, and she would make scrambled eggs for herself. She got really good at it, and she started making eggs for the family. She would make eggs and toast and hot chocolate for everybody Sunday morning. It was great. So now she's 8 years old, and she can follow a recipe. She can bake simple cakes, you know, one bowl, just mix everything in one bowl type of cakes. She can make that from scratch.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
And then what what about teenagers then, you know?
Well, teenagers can make dinner. They can cook for Shabbos. They can make real food. They can load the washing machine, and you know they can not just fold the laundry and put it away, but they can do the whole thing from start to finish. You know, Motzei Shabbos in our house, we have a rotation with my older kids. They're ages 15, 13, and 11 for washing the dishes and pots from Shabbos, clearing the table, sweeping the floor. I don't have to do anything. I can just go and read a book. It's great.
it's a very good thing. How many children do you have?
I have five.
So you have five. 15.
I have actually a newborn. You might be hearing her in the background.
Yeah, I do. As a matter of fact, she's probably busy washing the floor or something, right?
She's getting to it pretty soon.
That's good. I don't know.
What you're hearing is her grumbling. She's grumbling about having to do it.
I don't know if she knows what's in store for her at her next birthday. Okay, like you know, here you go. You're 5 years old, and happy birthday. And here's a mop, and here we go. It sounds good.
My oldest daughter was saying, "Oh, I wish I was a baby. They get taken care of. They don't have to do anything." And I said to her, "Oh, but you know, she still has to face all these years of all the stuff that you've gone through."
That's why she'll be happy.
She's still facing it.
So that's why she'll be happy to get married someday. You know, it'll be like a vacation, right? Okay. Anyway, I want to talk about one other thing. Now, you talk about Pesach. Obviously, Pesach is Zman Chavrusenu for some people,
yeah.
Not for everybody. But so you talk about it's a great opportunity to help out and do things and make the house, you know, ready for Pesach and so on, right? I mean, it must be a... It's like the opening day of the first day of the season, right?
Yes.
So what do you do? What does your house start looking like? I mean, like, you know, everybody's got to start chipping in.
Yes. I would like to start this year a little extra early because of the newborn. I don't know how much time she's going to give me. You know, obviously the kids are in school all day. They get home late. They'll be helping out on Sundays. And I don't like to, again, because of school, to overload them too much, but they will be responsible to clean their own drawers and closets. As we get closer, and this is the part that they like, as we get closer, they help with the cooking. So they'll help with, you know, peeling the vegetables and our minhagas. We do everything as much as we can from scratch. So we even shell our own nuts, and they actually love that part because we have an automated nut sheller. So they love loading the nut sheller and shelling and separating all the nuts from the shells. That's a very big job, and everybody chips in with that. We listen to music, and we laugh and joke. It's fun. It's fun for them. So the preliminary stuff is the part that they don't like so much, and that's cleaning out their drawers. They always feel great afterwards because they love... the decluttering and how nice the room looks when they're finished getting rid of all these stuff that they just aren't using anymore, all their tchotchkes that they're ready to throw out. They have so much more space. You could see them glowing with that sense of accomplishment when they're done.
Yeah, that's good. No, I think it's a good thing. But now, let me ask you another question. So we have people who are going to be reading the article, listening to the interview, who are going away for the Passover holiday. And so that makes it a little bit more complicated. Is there anything you could suggest to them that even though they are going away, could they still get their kids to be involved in some aspect?
Well, there are a lot of people who do clean for Pesach anyway, even if they go away. So they could certainly use that as an opportunity. If they really lock up their whole house and sell it, I don't really know what to say to that. That's a great question I haven't thought of. So I guess on the spot, I would have to say that they could use Shabbos. They should, you know, use Shabbos as much as possible to get kids excited about, you know, the fun parts of doing chores. You know, get them involved in the Shabbos cooking. Kids love to be involved in the kitchen. So chores
right.
don't have to always be drudgery.
Right.
What's that?
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't have to always be drudgery. It could be fun, too.
Okay. So, okay, so now I see that in the article it says you're a New York Times best-selling author and certified parenting coach. So what have you done? You've written...
I've written, actually, two books that are completely unrelated to parenting. They are the one that's a bestseller is the Unofficial Harry Potter Cookbook, and I wrote another one called The Unofficial Narnia Cookbook. Those are the two books that I've published so far.
Okay.
I'm working right now on a marriage guide for Orthodox women.
Oh, really? Okay, interesting. Okay. And what about the certified parenting coach? I mean, you've taken classes in this, have a degree?
Yes. I took a training course, and a lot of the curriculum was home-based. I did a studying on my own, and then took an exam. I did that last winter.
Yeah, nice, very nice. Well, listen, I think you've given some good food for thought to people out there and saying, don't spoil your kids. Give them something that they could work on. They won't become frustrated. They'll feel pretty good about themselves. They'll have as much self-respect as they really should have, and it'll prepare them for later on. So it's really been nice talking to you. And so we've been talking to Dina Buchholz.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, and good luck with all the books and everything you're doing. Have a wonderful day, okay? Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.